We're back for a couple more minutes with Robert H. E. Monks, Bill Russell, and I, Paula Gordon. The many things that you have done include shareholder activism, which is, to me, one of the many good news parts of your book, Corpocracy, is there are things we can do.
Well, it's quite disappointing. Just this last month, I received an opinion from the Federal District Court in Massachusetts that said, I am not eligible to be a plaintiff in a class action lawsuit because I'm an activist. Now, that's really the last straw because as a shareholder, you have virtually no rights in America compared to, say, England, where you have, you know, rights to get rid of directors. You can't do that in this country. The essential tragedy is that the only people who are activists are inclined to be union funds and public funds. And this invites the characterization that they have a anti-capitalist, left-wing agenda and diminishes their credibility, and very unfairly. Now, the reason this exists is because the other funds choose not to be involved.
So tragedy can turn into opportunity.
And they continue to choose. I mean, Harvard University, I've been corresponding with for 30 years on the subject. And Harvard is a very aggressive manager of their money, but they find that this would, becoming activist, would somehow compromise their mission, or it might make some potential donors nervous. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has said exactly the same thing, that they want to get about giving away their money. They don't want to worry about these companies in which they're invested. And until and unless we get the full spectrum of ownership, the owner agenda will necessarily be suspect, and the utility of involved ownership as the mechanism to produce a holistic capitalism will not be realized.
Well, sitting listening to you talking about the court case, it's not a fair representation, but it's not also wrong, I think. Corporations, with Lewis Powell's help, have First Amendment rights. They've got free speech. They get to speak. Mm. You don't. Now, it's in a specific set of circumstances in a court, but those kinds of decisions have been out there. So we have legitimate, real human beings, real people, mm-hmm. whose First Amendment rights are being abridged, where we have ersatz people, corporations, whose First Amendment rights are being expressed all day, every day, with this large power source, which is their economic clout.
Yeah. It's changed the nature of our society, and one of the things, that just getting back to where we started, is about language, is that the dialogue now is disproportionately the dialogue of business. And the example of that would be in a Democratic administration, the dialogue about globalization. The dialogue about globalization was, well, if we export jobs, in the long run, it makes more wealth for more people. Fine. But did anybody take the time to say, in the short run, what do you do about the people who are really getting hurt by this? And if you come to my home state of Maine and you go to, say, Dexter, Maine, a flourishing home of a wonderful company, Dexter Shoe Company, now part of Warren Buffett's holdings, factory shut, not a job there. Wonderful managers, but they couldn't deal with the disparity of pay. Now, no one has done anything for the people who lived in Dexter, Maine. And so we've had a very narrow definition of economic self-interest has driven this.
There's this wonderful phrase that I had forgotten if I knew it, that is that we must be in the business not of short-term greed, of long-term greed,
yeah.
Except that the human animal is greedy and be looking at a long-term so as to profit everyone.
Yes, I think that, and that's a matter of language, and I think there isn't anybody in America who doesn't want a clean country and a clean world and a civil world.
And by virtue of the work you are doing, we can do that.
Well, I have to demur. I've had quite a bit of disappointment in this. I think the theory of it is right, but I can't point to very much in the way of positive consequence.
Tell me what I can do. Don't tell me what you fail to do. Tell me what I can do.
What you can do very simply is to go to the university that you attended, to go to any organizations, churches of which you're a member, find out about their endowment, find out who runs their endowment, and you make a personal commitment to talk to the people who are running the money for that institution, because none of the people in this are bad people. The people who run corporations are not bad people. It is just that absent rules, they make up rules that are most in their self-interest. But it's up to us to get those rules, and you can get it if you start to convince the trustees that they must be responsive to their beneficiaries.
And I can do that in a democracy.
You can do it right now. You can do it. The mind boggles, but there are probably four or five groups that everybody watching this, is associated with. They can go and say, why aren't you doing something about this? Do something about this. Here are problems that you can do something about. And it's a matter of everybody just taking it on themselves to do this.
Change happens one person at a time.
At a time.
We believe corporatocracy is something we all need to know about if democracy and capitalism are to flourish, and we strongly recommend the book itself. We're immensely grateful to Mr. Monks for writing it, and we thank him also for sharing his experience and insights with us here. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.